Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 326, episode 4 of
Your Daily Zeitgeist!
Ah! It's a production of iHeartRadio, and it's a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Thursday, February 22nd, 2024.
2-2-2-2-4, 2-2, wait, 2-2-2-2-4, yeah, exactly. Guess what? Shout out everybody working in the supermarket, Supermarket Employee Day. It's shout out also National Chili Day, C-H-I-L-I, okay, for all you chili lovers out there, myself included. Nationals, cook a sweet
potato. I'm more of a T-Boz guy. Thank you.
Wow, 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 wow. Well, keep your left eye open, Jack, because you're going to miss National Margarita Day, and everyone likes this. Dude, spicy margaritas are everywhere now, and I kind of hate it now. Everything's like, we have spice, like, people have shit written on windows, and I'm like, we have spicy margaritas. Okay. Anyway.
International Spicy Marg Day.
Shout out to all my Golden Staters. We're the poppies. What's our wildflower? Yeah, the poppies bloom, you know what I mean? And it's National California Day, okay?
Hey, and you're flying back today.
I'm out of Sunshine State to the Golden State.
We're going to rip through this one, just real a half-asser, as we call it in the industry, because Miles has a plane to catch. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Ooh, wee, ooh, I've got resting butler face now. Oh, oh, can I take your luggage, sir? Just don't ask me to iron over anything. I'm not good at that. Down and on. Yeah, I suck shit at that. That is courtesy of the B Squad in reference to my time as a butler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my first job, or one of my first jobs out of school, butler, which is just a concierge at a fancy British hotel. And I knew how to iron my clothes. I did not know how to iron a gown, which I was asked to do very early. And a very patient, posh British woman showed me, was like, here, let me show you how to do this. And there, now you know how to use an iron.
And I've married that woman.
That's right.
She's now my wife.
Unimpressed. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, I may be in the 305, but it's still 818 every day. Miles Gray, a.k.a. you meet her for lunch just to hit a new low. She's faking a smile, orders her lunch to go. You tell her you're fine, taking your time. She nods and gets up and then beelines to the door with her burrito. Break up at Chipotle,
You're taking an L, mouthful of guac, thinking, man, what the hell? All right, shout out to Doc Lobster
for that wonderful AKA.
Mm-hmm.
This our guest today is one of my favorite to sing in front of because he just like puts his face in his hands and just fully appreciates how dumb this show is.
Yeah,
and gives it to us
the fever dream that I wander into every time I'm on this show.
Yeah. Look, you incredible. Know what? I was broken up with at a Chipotle at an Oinkster. And I mean, I have another breakup story out of a food-based breakup story I still haven't told. So I'll keep that one on deck for another time.
It's good. It's amazing that you didn't develop like an eating disorder of some sort.
No. If anything, I just learned to eat as fast as possible because I have no idea when the meal could be ruined by being broken up with. Yeah.
You do eat pretty fast for a only child. Usually, people who eat fast are doing it to try and get the food before their siblings.
I did spend a very good amount of my time in my childhood up the street from my house in a Catholic house that had like a bunch of kids. Shout out to Shrek family. And I would just I learned how to go ham in a very quick amount of time. Like I was eating like a firefighter, basically, just like
the Shrek family. Was it like Fiona and Shrek and their offspring?
No. Different spelling.
Oh, okay.
They were a little bit like, damn, we the Shreks when the movie came out. And I was like, respect.
We're thrilled, Miles, to be joined in our third seat by a podcaster extraordinaire who is too good to be on this show. Come on. What is he doing here? You know him from This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia, a good sport from Ted and Pushkin, 30 for 30. For ESPN, the 538 Politics podcast, where I first caught wind of him, the lead producer on The Puzzler. It's Jody Abergay!
All right. I appreciate this. And so wait, you have a plane to catch? I appreciate that we're here on, what is it, National Phone It In on your podcast day.
So that's the one.
Flight.
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not. I have plenty of time.
We got time.
Yeah. We're just
saying. Well, while you two were each singing, I just want to say, each singing a like five verse ridiculous song. I had some time here to Google National California Day, which is a deeply weird thing that you would have a national single day to celebrate a state. But I can't really figure out why it's February 22nd.
Yeah, so
rubbing it in to other people that it's like sunny
here.
It's
warm here.
Yeah it's not bad. Your day probably sucks compared to ours on this National California Day.
You know what's wild? It was only done because of this calendar website said it was.
Yes.
Like there's
thank you.
They're just just said literally founded in 2017 by National Day Calendar to celebrate California is the 31st. It's a
really
31
proud
state.
History.
Yeah, wow, they couldn't even spell 31st.
Like the dog situation where it's like, well, we have a calendar and we have to put something on every day.
Yeah,
there's 50 states, so that's a good number of days right there. So yeah.
It says that it says to celebrate California as the 31st state. It says 31st.
Yeah.
31.
Well,
flavors.
In leap years, it's the 31st state.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man, we are in a leap year. How's everybody celebrating? You guys doing anything wild for leap year?
You didn't get my invite for my big leap year white party?
It's
in the Hamptons. It's just a real bash. Yeah, it's amazing.
My homie's turning 10, which is kind of cool.
Is that real?
Yeah. For his 40th birthday, he's turning 10.
Congratulations to that, man.
But we're calling it his 10th birthday.
Does he have like a 10-year-old's birthday?
No, he's just because the leap years only come around every four years. We're like, bro, your birthday doesn't exist this year. So
but he should have to celebrate that age.
Yeah, right.
As that age.
We'll go to Chuck E. Cheese and we'll all get in fist fights with the other stressed out parents. Yeah.
Right. You'll all get your first boner.
There you go. In the ball pit. As one does. Nah, they got rid of the ball pit. Too many boners. Yeah, too unhygienic.
It's a petri dish.
It's all just it's a video game arcade these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Jody, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things. We're talking about, we got the first little taste of Trump's new reality show wherein he's going to be picking a vice president. I don't know that how much it's his idea and how much it's the mainstream media's idea, but I do feel like the mainstream media needs this. They're like, the primary is really under-delivered for us. And if you look at the video, but like this is mainly Fox News being like, okay, I'm going to give you a list of six names and you tell, like, it's like up first or something, you know, and you tell me if they're on your list. Okay. Anyways, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about frozen embryos being deemed literal children, according to the Alabama Supreme Court. We will talk about measles making a comeback. We love it, don't we, folks? Man. All of that, plenty more. But first, Jody, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
This last week has been one of the more busy weeks of my professional life in a good way, but I've been like really just holed up and kind of with blinders on. So I haven't searched much, but the one thing I did spend a long time searching was, and it's my search history is mostly this, is New Balance 574s, which are, you know, one of my go-to shoe. And I've worn that shoe basically for the last 10 years or so, but there's this very frustrating dynamic, which is I buy a pair, I really like them, and then they run out, you know, they wear out, and I go and look for that pair again, and they don't make the color anymore. And I have this thought of like, I should just buy three when I find a color I like and just stock up.
Yeah.
I've never really been that way, both in terms of sneaker collecting or foresight.
Yeah.
And so this week was my one kind of like non-working on podcast excursion, was to try and stock up on colors that I liked in the 574s.
What's the color?
And I spent way too long. Well, they're not making a color that I love right now.
Okay, well, what was that one? Just so for the sneakerheads out there, so I can envision.
Oh, the last one I really, well, there was one, the one that like really led to this moment of regret. There was one, I don't remember the exact name of the colorway, but it was like, it had like a light blue, it had like a sky blue and a little bit of yellow on it. And it was just really, really nice. And it's the one that I wish I had bought five of and just worn for the next 5 years of my life. But
are you like doing like a Steve Jobs kind of thing with your sneakers? This is it. Like
on the sneaker front, definitely. Like I'm not, you know, I like the way those shoes look. They toe a line that I think is perfectly on brand for me, which is like, very
all puns
clearly
by Jody are intended, just so we can get that out of the
way. Yes, there you go. Yes, that was very intended. You know, they project dad first and foremost, which I'm very comfortable with, but a little bit of, you know, a little more interesting. And so I think the 574 square that for me. But yeah, I would very happily just like have 15 pairs of those sitting there, and every 6 months just put on a fresh pair.
Yeah. I just recently blew through my first pair of New Balances. That I'm like, oh yeah, because you know, I'm like, I need my dad's shoe life. I need comfortable shoes. I can't just walk around in untied Jordans all day like I used to, where my feet just get wrecked.
Yeah,
yeah,
it does hurt your feet when you take a lot of steps in a Jordan.
Untied shoes. That's the big thing. I barely tie my like. I only started tying my shoes like maybe 2 years, like a year ago.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I keep them loose, and some of the Jordans are like starting to feel to me in my old age like the boots from the Face Off prison. They're just
like magnetic to the ground.
I have to use a hand to like get my legs moving a little bit.
Around the house, are you a socks or a slippers person?
Socks.
Yeah. I have socks. And I have grippy socks too.
Mm.
Like in the pandemic, like when it started, and I was, you know, because I don't wear shoes at home, I just had socks that felt like they had traction. The foot would be like, well, I'm not totally fucking around with my footwear right now.
Yeah.
You like to be able to jump stop wherever you are, even in socks. Yeah. You got to be able to stop on a dime.
Yeah.
Euro step. Yeah.
Exactly. Step. After repeated blows to the back of my head trying to do that. Yeah. I was like, I got to get grippy socks.
Yeah. What, what's something, Jody, that you think is overrated?
This is not exactly overrated because I love it. But I was thinking about this past weekend, I conned my daughter into alphabetizing my vinyl collection for me, which was great. It had been like 2 decades of mess. And then I was like, oh, this would be educational to her. And, you know, really, it was just finally getting around to doing it. So we sat down and we alphabetized my vinyl. And most of it is like stuff that I bought, you know, for like $2 a record, $3 a record, like many, many years ago, and have hauled around. And I love, you know, I love listening to it. But I've gotten a little bit into just buying stuff on vinyl, like a lot of people have lately. And it's really expensive. Like, it's crazy. And I was reading something yesterday about someone saying kind of like, everyone that they know who collected vinyl for like the practice of it, you know, not necessarily for the fidelity of the audio, but like just it's fun to collect and it's good to, you know, it's nice to look at the artwork and it's nice to have a music collection. All those people, at least this person claimed, are moving to CDs now. because you still get that act of collecting, but like you're not dropping $40 on a piece of vinyl. So I think vinyl is riding this weird, like maybe overrated curve or whatever. I think it's going to, I've started to feel that myself too. Like, oh, it's really fun to do this, but gosh, I cannot drop $25 to $40 every time I get a new piece of vinyl.
You don't think, because like I've thought about this myself, and the reason I've justified my vinyl collection is that if there's like the world's electronics go out, my CDs are useless, my MP3s are useless, but I can still put my ear to a needle and move the record around and still hear the music or like use a gram. Like that, to me, it feels like the one apocalypse proof form of recorded music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you had to do that, just like hand rotate the record, I feel like that would get annoying for you.
I think there was like, a whole, the apocalypse, baby. In the director's cut of Station 11, there's like a 10-hour section where they're just listening to Nina Simone by hand cranking it around. It's really it's an incredible scene.
Heavy too, vinyl, right? At least compared to CDs heavy. And tapes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I mean, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So well, people are skipping the tapes. Tapes, which is
right.
Which is
well, that's the other
question.
The tapes, but yeah. I guess the tapes aren't as like interesting stackable. Of an artifact, and they're not as stackable and so forth. And if you're really just in it to kind of like be able to flip through stuff or whatever, and just kind of feel like you're collecting, then CDs might be the answer.
But I think like a lot of the hipper bands are putting out tapes now too. Like I've noticed that in LA where they're like, nah, dude, put our demo out on fucking cassette. But then it like, it sounds like whatever. Go ahead. I mean, it's cool. I get it. You know, do what you want to do. Throw back.
No, it's
funny.
You go to Bandcamp and it's like you buy it and the options are basically like,
right.
MP3, cassette,
right,
and $50 vinyl that'll take 8 months to arrive because Taylor Swift gets to print all of her stuff before any indie band gets to print their
all
vinyl,
the world's vinyl is going to making.
No,
the
it's
Taylor
true.
Swift
it's
vinyls,
a huge shortage. It's kind of an incredible thing that all these big artists like leapfrog all the other folks who want to put stuff out on vinyl.
Is it the material that there's a? Is it like helium, like one of those materials that secretly is just like. We have a finite limit of vinyl in a cave.
I think it's
somewhere.
More the manufacturing facilities, but I'm not sure. But I think it's that, you know, it's the, I mean, vinyl has taken off a ton, you know, in the last few years, but not to a place where like it's worth opening a vinyl factory in, you know, in Cleveland or whatever.
Sure.
Right. So there's still a limited manufacturing capability, but a really exponentially growing demand. And so then, it's created this whole thing where like Taylor Swift can put out all her back catalog on vinyl. You know, have it on shelves in a week, and indie bands need to wait like 8 months in line, you know.
Right.
Will there ever be music stores, like physical media stores again? Like not, you know, used record stores like we have now, but like will there be a future where there's a record store just like it's not abnormal to see one? Do you guys think?
I think so. I mean, at least in New York, there's like, I mean, I was at the Rough Trade has like a proper record store here in New York, a flagship store. And it's like, looks like a, you know, a record store. It's a bunch of new vinyl. And actually there's a cassette player I noticed on for sale there too, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's going to be in every neighborhood or on every corner, but yeah.
Right. Oh, wow. It sounds like too, it's like because CDs, you know, became the norm, all the vinyl operations just started to cease to exist. And so you're left with like less plants, but also there, apparently there's a place that, the Apollo Masters fire of February 2020 also had a huge setback on the vinyl industry. The only plant in North America equipped to manufacture vinyl lacquer discs, which is a key step in manufacturing process, had a 3-alarm fire that completely destroyed its facility.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. So now people are going to a manufacturer in Japan. Oh, yeah. So this shit is,
Wait, can I tell you my favorite little fact about vinyl records that I learned in just fairly recently, and I'm sure I will get corrected by the Reddit page if I screw this up, but it's something like this, that the like physical way that a needle interacts with the grooves on a record has a little bit to do with the instrumentation on the record, right? And it's basically that like higher pitch stuff has shallower or smaller grooves and more bass has bigger grooves. Mm-hmm. And moreover, as the needle and the arm gets closer to the middle of a record, it becomes a little more unstable just because of the physics of it or whatever, which is all to say that throughout the like 60s, 70s, when they were pressing vinyl, it was very risky to put bass heavy songs on the towards the middle of a side of vinyl.
Right.
Because it could potentially like throw things off. So to me, so like to me, you know, I've always been like, oh, I love all these Fleetwood Mac records where like the end of side one ends on this beautiful acoustic little piece. You know, what wonderful track listing or program. And it's actually just because of the like a physical problem that they have to do that. But it has like defined for me like so many of these records that they end on these little acoustic moments.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
They like put the bangers up top. Yeah.
Yeah. That basically. Yeah, yeah.
The Beatles White Album like opens with Back in the USSR or whatever. And then amazing. What's something you think is underrated, Jody?
Mittens. I know that's not that interesting. Or actually, no, you might. Wait. Can I ask you a question? Sorry to break.
Can something be underrated if it's on the list of favorite things from the song Favorite Things? Just a question I'm putting out there. But
right.
That's true. That's true.
We'll let the listeners decide.
I don't know if this is underrated, but it's something that, that I've really loved in my life and I'm ranting to everyone about. But is this product, I don't know if they're going to sponsor the show. Maybe they can sponsor the show. It's called Brick. You heard about this? Brick.
And it is. I thought it was mittens. I thought
you threw, yeah, no.
Oh, no. Sorry, I switched from mittens.
Have you heard about this?
You're going to see that part out.
I love Brick. Yeah, I threw one through a cop car's windshield. Yeah.
No, exactly. They're great. No. So Brick is this device. I've been on a long quest to like remove apps from my phone and sort of not get caught in the rabbit hole of, you know, social media and all that stuff on my phone. And I've tried all sorts of things, including going to a flip phone for a while, and that was no good, and I had to go back. And I finally discovered a thing called Brick, which is a product, and it basically is a piece of software that lets you decide what apps you want to have on and what apps you don't want to have on. So you can basically take your phone and just say, like, I want Maps, I want Spotify, I want so forth, you know, I want all these things, but I don't want to have all the social media and email and all that stuff. And the way you turn it on and turn it off, the way you activate it is by tapping it against a physical square device called the Brick. And that thing lives on my fridge. So it's sitting on my fridge. And when I want to basically unlock my phone, I have to walk over and like tap it against this little thing that's on my fridge. And when I leave the house, I can't unlock my phone because the Brick is back on my fridge. And it has done wonders. It's incredible. I have finally kind of like un-rabbit-holed my phone, and I only have things on there that are like useful, and I don't have any of the distractions.
Yeah.
Oh, so it basically is like, okay, time out for these other apps until you come back for the Brick tap. Okay.
The physicality of it's cool. That there's a physical space that's like base for your phone, like, oh, I'm off base.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Right.
that's fun.
Because the problem is that like iPhones have that screen time thing where it's like you can tell it to close all these apps between this, but it's still the way to unlock it is still on your phone, and you find yourself going and undoing the settings. And the fact that it's just a physical separate space has made all the difference. Like it's really, it's great.
It's like you can't psychoanalyze yourself. You can't fix the broken tool with the broken tool. You can't fix your phone addiction with a button on your phone.
Right. No, that's
with
exactly
an app
right.
that
that's
you
exactly
go
right.
to on your phone. That's cool. I love that.
Give it a shot.
Have you ever like accidentally not unlocked your phone and like been out for the day in New York City?
I mean, I'm doing it every day. I'm basically
on purpose.
When I leave the house, my phone is bricked. And so I've had to like tell people I work with, I'm like, I no longer have email or Slack on my phone. If you need to reach me, text me or call me. And it's fine.
Or just generally fuck off.
Generally I'll be back in a couple hours. It's all
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right. Brick and mittens.
Brick and mittens. Sorry, it's sort of I undercut the mittens one. You can keep it in, or you can.
Mittens,
you can
I think we keep it in.
Mittens are great.
Mittens are great. Just one of a few of my favorite things. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back and get into the news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
And this is just a little minor one, a little check-in, but Fox News did a little town hall event hosted by Laura Ingraham, where she asked Trump about six possible choices for his running mate, DeSantis, Scott, Ramaswamy, Donalds, Byron Donalds, Noam, and Gabbard. Are they all on your short list? I didn't watch it. I'm picturing this having the music from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire behind it. As she's like, will you lock this in? And Trump said, they are. Honestly, all those people are good. They're all good.
Oh, wow.
They're all solid. Which people are like, oh my God, he announced his short list. No, he didn't. He just answered the question that you posed to try to make this into a story. Like the mainstream media needs a something right now to fill in for the fact that there is not going to be a primary season that people will pay attention to. And so they're going to go with this would be that's my prediction, is that they're just going to really turn this into the Bachelor Vice President edition.
Yeah, it'll be the Fashler, and we'll the Fashler, where this is all headed.
Jack, I'm really glad you kind of honed in on that dynamic of how that question got asked, because it is such a hallmark of how people ask questions of Trump and how he wants to be asked questions. But it's this like reporter floating an idea, and then all Trump has to do is yes and play along and acquiesce. Yeah. And it's like people do not. You know, I mean, you're literally collaborating with him in that point, in that way, to create this news moment. And sure, that, like, I guess at Fox News, but even, you know, quote unquote, mainstream reporters find themselves playing that game where they'll just like float ideas. And then Trump, I mean, he will go along with almost anything that you say to his face if it has this tone of like, you know, it's a lot. Like, I think she could have snuck in like Stacey Abrams' name like into that list, right. And Trump would have been like, oh yeah, like them all, you know, yes, you know, like I'm into it, you know, like you could, like he just, so that was the dynamic that I most sort of jumped out to me as so frustrating. And we're seeing it all happen again, the way that he gets asked questions, like he hasn't actually thought about these people, he isn't going to actually engage with their merits, he's going to make it a reality TV show. It is like hilarious and fucking heartbreaking to me that DeSantis is on that list, because DeSantis will never, ever, ever, ever get picked.
No.
And mostly because he's too short. And that's just like how Trump works.
Right.
But, you know, it is just so funny that he's on that list.
Does that help him that he Trump kind of towers next to him? You know, like,
no, I think Trump like literally just thinks of these people as casting. And when he gets it in his head that he's too short, he's just too short. And that's
right. Or does he think of it like he's like, Pence was too tall and he had a spine. I need a weakling who wears custom boots so I can really push him around and embarrass him. Because it feels like he would, if DeSantis was his VP, he'd probably be like, folks, I want you to look at Ron's boots. They lift.
Oh, yeah. He makes him take them off.
Yeah, show everybody. Why don't you, for the class?
Like, just humiliate him. Like, that would probably be the most entertaining, is he has DeSantis and then just makes him eat shit. Because I also, DeSantis turned out to be, like, heading in when he's on the cover of Time magazine and people are like, he's just smarter Trump. I was like, this guy's gonna be like very boring. And he was actually one of the more fascinating people to watch run for office because he was so uncomfortable and weird.
Yep.
So I don't hate the prospect of him. Again, I don't think it's going to happen because Trump is just like, I feel like he's more likely to just like pick the liver king or like somebody with big muscles is, you know, the big muscles down here. You know what I'm saying?
I pick the Undertaker from WWE. You're like, damn.
But DeSantis, like, having DeSantis squirming in the spotlight was a fun, you know, spectator sport. So I wouldn't hate that.
You know, if there's anything that Trump notices, it's that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Trump watches TV with the sound off and he just makes, you know, he just looks at someone and DeSantis is like sweaty, squirming under
he's
the
a
lights.
Loser.
Yeah, can't
he's
smile.
A loser. He's a short loser.
He is a short loser, it turns out, which, yeah, unfortunately for him. Trump did especially laud Tim Scott, but mainly for how much Scott talks about him. So again, if he's trying to pick the best sycophant that's going to make him look good, maybe this is the pick. If he's trying to pick like the strongest guy, which seems like what he did not pick the strongest guy the first time around. He just picked the one that his supporters were telling him, or you know, his analysts were telling him was the best kind of strategic triangulation move. But he said of Scott, I watched his campaign and he doesn't like talking about himself, but boy does he like talking about Trump. So
yeah, it's kind of like the whole thing was just, you know, sort of rigged, de facto meant for his nomination anyway. It's like, well, I can't speak ill of the guy who I'm gonna have to beg for a cabinet position eventually. So
yeah,
here we are,
almost as if. All right, let's talk about the Alabama Supreme Court.
Yeah.
In a first-of-its-kind ruling, the Alabama Supreme Court just declared that frozen embryos are children, and those who destroy them can be held liable for wrongful death, making it even more terrifying to be a doctor in Alabama now.
Yeah, this was, I think, inevitable. A lot of people, once, you know, Roe fell, were like, you know, IVF is also the other thing, because these anti-choice people fucking would love nothing more than to go after IVF and continue the sort of like, these cell clumps are people and they have rights. And if you drop a test tube with it in there, that could be murder. Although we still don't know what the bounds are of that law, but at the very least, there are stiff penalties that could easily bankrupt any sort of healthcare provider because of, you know, something happened. And this, you know, this comes from these lawsuits where these parents who had IVF treatment had their embryos frozen, and like a patient at the hospital where the embryos were at had got access to these embryos and then dropped them.
Picked them up with his bare hands.
Yes. Something that is cryogenically frozen. I don't know if you've seen the movies, but that's a little bit, I think that's not like taking a pint of ice cream out of your freezer. But anyway, and then, yeah. So because of that, these embryos were destroyed and the parents sued the clinic for, quote, wrongful death. And the court loved nothing more than to oblige them and said that, yeah, these people do fit the definition of a person or child.
The quote from the Chief Justice is fucking terrifying.
Dude, this is wild. So, yeah, the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court said that, you know, the people of Alabama have declared and have adopted, quote, the theologically based view that, quote, life cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God. So just
So no more capital punishment in Alabama. Is that what? Yeah. Wait.
No.
Oh, I mean, my bad.
But then also, how conversely, how would you look at the idea of science being able to create life out of the, you know, the actual human intercourse version versus, you know, because right now IVF, eggs are retrieved, they're fertilized with sperm, and then they're rated for quality, and the higher quality embryos are the ones that are transferred to the uterus, and often more than one at a time are done so in order to increase the chances of success. And so that's the thing where this chief justice is like, well, there is a version that you could do that wouldn't put it at risk. So in this version, according to this chief justice, who is not a fucking doctor, is basically saying every time an embryo is created, it has to be transferred to the uterus. And regardless of quality. So you're saying and if a doctor be like, this has actually a very low chance of being successful, they're like, well, we got to try because that embryo is a person. And if you destroy it, then that's a no-no. And you will incur the wrath of a fucking holy God. And this is like obviously terrible because it's just, it's expensive. It's needlessly very painful for the patient. And this is just sort of like the abortion bans where logic does not prevail. Where they're like, no, the doctor must wait until the patient is like on death's doorstep before they can intervene and ask a court if it's okay to terminate a pregnancy. And the Chief Justice is sort of logic for this more arcane version of IVF that he feels is more in line with God's law. He was like, well, you know, it's fine because the Italians made this a law back in 2004. And then completely left out the part where the law was fucking rescinded a few years later because it was so fucked up and backwards. So. Yeah, this is just the next target in terms of reproductive rights that anti-choice people are going after. And yeah, obviously people are scared because it could go to other states.
I mean, you're right to point out that, you know, it is clearly there's just a top line agenda here and everything is kind of retrofitted to fit into it, including not sort of thinking through the ripple effects, as you were saying. But like on the front end, I mean, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just stating the obvious, but like the idea that you're trying to ostensibly make a law that points out that like a random person shouldn't walk into a facility and grab frozen embryo things and then accidentally drop them on the ground. Like
the right. Dennis Nedry law.
Do we need a law? Yeah. Do we need a law? Exactly. Do we need a law that then defines embryos people in order to kind of like put guardrails on that kind of behavior? Right. And so clearly like, you know, this is exploiting a moment in order to take a bigger stance here and set some really sort of scary precedent. But I mean, like, not everything, and I understand this is how law often works, but like there was probably another way, you know? Like
lock
maybe
the
Supreme
door.
Court should have been like, how about a key? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. What if we locked that shit?
Yeah.
How about gloves next to the gloves. Cryogenic freezer?
Yeah. Yeah. But the gloves have the Bill of Rights and the gloves have the you know, some Bible verses on the back.
Yeah, right. There so you exactly. go. The Ten Commandments on the back so that you can. Did anybody notice if this justice's hands were bandaged up while he was delivering this? Because it feels like the sort of thing that, like,
you think it's an inside job.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So show me your hands, sir. It's
clearly the most efficient way to get this ruling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's like such an inexplicable move by the person to just go in there and be like, doot, do, doot, do, do.
Yeah.
What do these things do? Yeah, so this is going to have immediate, really fucked up consequences for fertility specialists. They don't really, like, doctors aren't even sure how to proceed in light of this because they've been given absolutely no guidance. And it's just so kind of out of left field that there's not a clear path forward for them. So,
And like using laws from like the 19th century to like kind of be part of like their reasoning. I mean, it's just, you know, it's. By every definition, the most regressive form of creating a law to punish people for whatever, again, because the agenda is these clumps of cells are human beings. And I think that's what a lot of people, whenever these sort of declarations are made, you're always like, okay, so then what does that mean? Like, then what rights do they have too? Like, if they are a person, then don't they got rights? And then how does that work? But the other thing is too, with these embryos that are stored, they're saying that like, you can't, these IVF clinics have to store the embryos like in perpetuity.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Like there is no like disposing of embryos. They said even after the couple's children, grandchildren, and even great grandchildren have died, they must remain in cryogenic storage. And again, it's just to make it completely
like cascade of little ripple effects. I mean, I can just imagine like the clerk for this judge, like every 10 minutes walking back into his office and be like, okay, I just figured out like, we're going to have to answer this thing too. Right. It's like, okay, scramble. Oh, shit. But what about, okay, so I guess that's store them forever. Okay, write that down. Okay, now we're going to, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back.
We're back.
And the fallout from Trump's financial ruling keeps coming. First, he started selling the sick golden sneakers at SneakerCon. And now New York is losing two of its most promising and successful entrepreneurs. The guy who made Dilbert and the dumb guy from Shark Tank are both, they've both announced if New York's going to be a dick about it, then they're not. They're not going to do business in New York. So this is following the ruling that Trump has to pay $355 million plus interest for lying about his wealth and inflating the value of his assets. Canadian businessman and Shark Tank goon Kevin O'Leary told Fox News that he will never invest in New York now because it is a loser state.
Sir, are you vying for a cabinet position too? What's going on?
He said it was already a loser state, like California is a loser state. There are many loser states because of policies, high taxes, and uncompetitive regulations. It was already at the top of the list of loser states.
We get it.
I would never invest in New York, and I'm not the only person saying that. I love... He really has the Trumpism of like people are saying I'm not the only one. A lot,
right.
Everybody's saying these people are losers.
It's the New York's the top of the loser state list. It's so funny to
just
me.
Like a burn book ass takedown.
Yeah, sixth like grade
everybody
bullshit.
Says they're a loser.
Also, yeah, behind your back. They just don't tell you to your face, but like everyone's saying it.
Also, if there's one thing O'Leary is an expert in, it's being a loser, according to his turn on Celebrity Jeopardy, where he got worked by, is that Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's Aaron Rodgers at $12,800 and Mr. Wonderful at negative $2,800. It's up there with Wolf Blitzer on the list of like Celebrity Jeopardies where you're like, oh, this paints you in a completely different light than what is portrayed on television.
Yeah.
I wonder if Wolf did poorly. I didn't catch that one.
Oh man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You gotta watch the highlights of that one. It's pretty fun.
I think it's him and also the other person is, I think, Senator Mark Kelly, it looks like.
Yeah. Wait, how is Aaron Rodgers? I mean, I remember that being like one of the rationales for like why he might be a good host is that he did well in Celebrity Jeopardy. But the fact that Aaron Rodgers is at 12,800 and Senator Mark Kelly is at 8,600.
An astronaut, you know, a fucking astronaut.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Wonderful's ass, he owes money.
Yeah. And then Scott Adams, of course, wrote on Twitter that he's canceling all New York City business trips until the Trump property seizure is reversed. Also, no new businesses with New York entities. So, why?
Did the publishing industry move towns?
But we'll see. They don't fucking work with him anymore.
Oh, right.
People questioned why he would even be going to New York. He defensively said, everyone in my line of work has regular NYC trips. But since his strip was dropped by its distributor after he went on a bunch of racist tirades, his line of work these days seems to be making YouTube videos and soliciting crowdfunding money with cartooning lessons and a new like Red Band trailer version of Dilbert that you can get.
A Red Band trailer version of Dilbert.
Spicy Dilbert.
Oh, so, my gosh.
You know, I got my start here in New York in public radio and worked, you know, for WMIC. And like this story of like people claiming to leave New York and take their business elsewhere, I mean, is like the oldest story in the book. And I mean, it often plays out with like New Jersey and New York and New Jersey cutting its taxes to try and lure businesses away. And, you know, it's occasionally happened, but it does not happen. People do not follow up on this. I mean, I think for the obvious reasons, but it's like, this is the cultural capital. This is the human capital. Like people do not realize that like this is where the people who actually you will need to populate a lot of your businesses are. And I just like, I don't know what game people think they're playing when time and time again, you know, even like, you know, post-pandemic, this whole story about office occupancy being a huge problem in New York, it's like bouncing back in the last 6 months in a way that people didn't really, you know, it is starting to bounce back. I just think people don't realize that they are never going to win by like playing this game with New York City.
Well, yeah. And also just having like the least principled boycott ever to be like, and I'm standing on like, this is a very like highly moral ground. This is why I'm saying we shouldn't do it. Like, cause even truckers were also getting in on this too. They started grumbling about how they could bring New York City to its knees over this shit by boycotting the city.
One trucker on TikTok, maybe. I mean, there's a media element here too, right? That it's like, we put a spotlight on these people and they're grumbling and then we don't actually follow up on their actual
Well, because, there's this guy, like you're referencing Chicago Ray on TikTok. Right. And he said, I've been on the radio talking to drivers for about the past hour and I've talked to about 10 drivers. Uh-huh. And he said, I don't know how far across the country this is or how many truckers are going to start denying loads going to New York City, but I'll tell you what. You fuck around and find out. And 2 days later, he took the video down and folded like origami. And then he said, quote, just to be clear, I'm no figurehead of any movement. I'm not leading, nor have I encouraged or am I encouraging anyone to do anything other than what they were doing prior to the ruling Friday in New York City. And then he also mentioned that his grandson saw his shit go viral on TikTok. And I think presumably maybe didn't want to embarrass him any further because it's probably bad enough that his grandpa goes by Chicago Ray. And other truckers just out of like they immediately dismissed this boycott. They're like, dude, I haven't heard a single thing about anything being close to an organized boycott or strike or whatever. And it seems to be like there is organic anger over New York City from truckers, but that seems to stem from the fact that a lot of truckers are now made to pay tolls in the city. And they're more like that would probably be a bigger reason where you'd see something organized from truckers, not because we're all like, it's not fair that the guy who did fraud and hasn't denied that it was fraud, he just said that he has a right to do it. I don't like that they're enforcing the law against this person.
Still, I mean, that's a pretty big statement coming from, I mean, that's the he covers Chicago territory for all the Rays.
Yeah, I mean, he is Chicago Ray.
He's the Ray for all of Chicago.
But what does New York Ray have to say?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly.
That was what was on my mind, but maybe maybe they
famous Ray versus Chicago Ray.
Right. There's so many Rays in New York claiming supremacy over one another. The first famous Rays.
Famous.
I think there's a pizza shop I've seen called like Original Famous Rays.
Yeah.
Just like, and you know, you look at that sign, you're like, there is just like 30 years worth of backstory to collection of words.
The original, totally. Not like those busters over one block up. Yeah, I think there are like a dozen that claim to be the original Famous Rays. But yeah, God, the Ray Wars of like the 1970s or whenever the fuck that happened. That would be amazing. Famous Rays, I don't know what they're famous for. I don't think it's their pizza, because that is probably, I'd say like Famous Rays is the most mediocre of the New York pizzas. Wow. Like it's good because like it's not good.
Are you thinking of the one in Fort
New
Greene?
York
Which one
pizza.
Are you thinking about?
I'm thinking of the one on like in the 30s on the east side.
Yeah.
That was the one that was like close to my, the apartment of like, that I spent most time at that time. So, and it was not good, but yeah, it's also highly variable too, which not great for a pizza chain. All right. Should we talk measles? Huge comeback with the possible exception of Justin Timberlake's album. The worst comeback of 2024 has been measles. Right now, there's a measles outbreak at a South Florida elementary school.
Uh-oh.
Miles. Have you been?
Why am I on trial?
Have you been hanging out at any elementary
school? No, this is where the court order actually really is saving your butt here.
The World Health Organization just warned that last year's measles cases saw a 79% increase from 2022, which is pretty bad for a disease that was declared eliminated from the U.S. in the year 2000. The big problem here, of course, is that vaccination rates are falling. In 2021-22 school year, an estimated 93% of the country's 4 million kindergarten children had recorded getting their recommended vaccines for guarding against measles, tetanus, polio, and varicella, which might not sound bad, but that number was down from 94% the previous year, 95% the year before that. It also means that nearly 250,000 kindergartners are potentially not protected against measles, which
I think you mean 250,000 kindergartners are now open for natural immunity.
That's right.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. To be naturally immunized.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been immunized. That's what my kindergartner asked when I said, wait, did we get you your vaccine? Yeah, Dad, I've been immunized.
Yeah, remember those immunized 3 weeks of school you missed? You were getting immunized.
Right. But yeah, like any vaccines, you know, it's not 100%, so you need large vaccination numbers to act as a firewall to keep it from spreading, and we are trending in the wrong direction. There have been reports of measles outbreaks in recent years prior to the pandemic, like the one in Disneyland, but following the COVID shit show, things seem to be getting worse thanks to what they're calling spillover hesitancy, which is, you know, fear of the COVID vaccine causing people to avoid other vaccines. So
there's a dynamic here that obviously played out during COVID, but like there's a distinction between vaccine skepticism, which I think is, you know, worth interrogating and is pretty awful as well. But then also this downplaying of the disease itself. And I mean, that's one of the, you know, many things in the around COVID that just made me so disheartened. Yeah. It's like people were twisting themselves into logic to then just say like, oh, actually, you're not that sick. And I think that's starting to happen here too, where people would be like, oh, measles is not that bad. It's not just I'm skeptical of vaccines for all these reasons that I've deluded myself, but it's more of that next logical step is then to say that these diseases aren't bad.
Yeah. It's natural. It's from the earth, man. What's more natural than measles? It's been
God
killing
made measles and measles don't
since
hurt.
It's the Black Plague.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are a lot of people actively doing what you're describing, downplaying the severity of measles, like the president of the Children's Health Defense, which
sounds like a cool group.
Great name.
Sounds like a name that like 10 years ago, I'd be like, sign me up. Children's Health Defense. But now, like, knowing what we know, I'm like, this was founded by RFK Jr., wasn't it? And guess what? It was.
Yeah.
She said, it's not a super severe, serious illness when you're a child. It's a couple days in spots and then you move on. And kids love spots. Like, my kid loves polka dots. She didn't say that last part, but like, that's basically trying to make it into like a fun thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, we shouldn't be too worried about. Unfortunately, there is a type of thing called a wellness influencer, and they've been promoting the idea of measles parties to expose kids and just like get it over with, which is a very dangerous relic of the past that largely ended with the availability of vaccines and now is coming back because do you know what's in the vaccine? No further questions, your answer.
Do you know what's in your diet cream soda you're drinking right now, fam?
Cream and soda? No okay. further questions. Right. Your answer. No, for... no further I answers. Mean, your question. Your honor.
You're, yeah, no. I like no further questions. Your answer.
Your question.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like it's so wild too because like every time, like all of this started because of that fucking stupid debunked medical journal post about the guy who is trying to link the MMR vaccine to autism. And every journal who published it had to retract it. They had to be like, this guy's a fucking fraud. And it was exposed that he only started doing this for his own personal gain because he had a financial stake in an alternative MMR vaccine. And that was like his way to be like, oh man, this will get back. This is the best. This is the best marketing ever. And now look at where we are. And yeah, you have people constantly being like, I just don't know. Like, I know people who've said to me, like, I just don't know, like, what'll happen if I take the COVID vaccine or whatever. I'm like, what are the possibilities that you've heard of? And it's like, well, I just don't know.
You just don't know. I can't predict the future. It's just yeah, no, that
you're right.
I guess that's true. And there's nothing that we can do to argue with that. So,
do you know how you'll react if you have COVID?
Do you know absolutely for certain that there's a 100% chance that I won't have a bad reaction to this vaccine? It's like, we have the numbers where here's the percentage chance that you'll have a bad reaction to the vaccine. And then here's the percentage chance that without it, you're going to get a serious case of COVID that will kill you.
And then one other question, just as I weigh my options, but like, what are, you know, at the measles party, like, what are the snacks?
Right. They are used lollipops. They're lollipops that you pass.
Everyone comes in, lick a lolly, leave it at the door. Then you reach in a bag, take one out, lick it, put it back in. And we do that about five rounds, and then we're okay.
New York had a measles outbreak in 2019, I think it was. And the measles parties thing came up. And I just found articles written around that period where my heart goes out to the reporter who has to write an article headlined.
Yeah.
Why measles parties are a bad idea for parents.
Yes.
And they have to call up like a very credentialed person from the CDC and ask them, should you have measles parties? And then the like doctor from the CDC has to give a quote saying, you should not have measles parties because, quote, vaccines are very effective.
Right.
You have to write up this whole article, but yeah, you shouldn't have a measles party.
And they have to like write a first person account. The clink of the glasses and hum of children chattering with one another.
Set the scene here. You want to go Gonzo on this one? I think I need you to go Hunter S. Thompson on this one.
And then RFK Jr. himself, of course, been a major source of measles misinformation. He once claimed that chicken soup was more effective than the vaccine. There he is. Your presidential candidate, everybody. RFK Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people on the right are arguing, of course, that measles vaccine, not really talking about the measles vaccine so much as just blaming any outbreaks on migrants being allowed into the country by Joe Biden.
So
that's.
Yeah. But I also just like how there was like in back, like when there was an outbreak at like an immigration detention center, what a euphemistic name for that facility. Like, that they're like, oh man, like it's because of the migrants in there. We're getting all this we're getting like all this outbreak happened. And it's because a lot of the staff, there were many staff members that refused right. to get vaccinated. Anyway, it's just a snake eating its own tail at this point. But hey, it's Joe Biden. I wonder if they have what else they can blame on. I guess there's no end to what conservatives will blame migrants for, like anything.
Yeah. No.
Like Taylor Swift is popular because of migrants. They're actually the ones playing her songs, and that's why she's so popular. And actually, migrants are responsible for, you know, whatever the outrage du jour is.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jody, it has been a pleasure having you, as always, on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
Well, it is always a pleasure to come on. I really am in awe. And you've set the bar. You set the bar at the beginning of this show for the amount of singing. So I just expect every time I'm on that it'd be more and more. I don't know. People can find me. Thank you for saying all my credentials at the top there. But I don't know. I'm still making The Puzzler. That's very fun. People should go check out The Puzzler. It's a daily puzzle podcast hosted by AJ Jacobs. I think he was on with you guys. Yeah. I think we're going to try and get you guys on The Puzzler sometime soon. So, you know, it's very fun. So people should go
keep
check
saying
out
that. You know, I believe Puzzler. It when I'm on, but, you know, I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
Great. Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh, you know, I ripped through that Hulu FX series about Truman Capote. I don't know if you saw that.
Capote, the Swans.
Yeah, just this past week, basically, I watched like one a night and got through the whole first season. And it was great. It's like very dishy and easy to watch and just like an incredible lineup of actresses and actors. And then it's directed by Gus Van Sant, who's a name I haven't heard in a while. And
is so it that really? Was
like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and it's like kind of beautiful and interestingly directed. So I don't know. It was very fun to watch.
Amazing. Miles, where can people find you? What's working media you've been enjoying?
At Miles of Gray, at the app based platforms. Find Jack and I on the Basketball Pod. Yes, Miles and Jack.
Miles and Jack at Boosties.
And if you like 90 Day Fiance, catch me on 420 Day Fiance. A tweet I like, it's a quote tweet by at Obra de Arte, I think is what that handle is. The first is just a highlighted, I think, part of a Wikipedia article. It says, William Shakespeare wore hoop earrings in his spare time. At that time, it was customary for poets and religious people to walk with hoop earrings in their ears. And at Obra de Arte tweeted, he was Latina. With the big ass hoops.
That's
very good.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. America's lounge singer at Krang T. Nelson tweeted, one of life's little joys is when you don't watch a show because you don't feel like it. And then when the season is over, everyone agrees that it sucked. Yes, I was right to not watch that show. I chose not to because I am wise. And that's just a feeling that I identify with. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I knew you were going to hate the ending. Mm-hmm. And that's why I didn't watch it. And then Mike F. at Deputy Warlock tweeted, when people get food poisoning, they always tell you it came out of both ends, but there's no need to malign the ass in that scenario. The food was going to come out of there regardless of whether it was poisonous. Leave the ass alone, okay?
Yeah.
Just do what it's done.
Go easy.
That's right. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
I mean, we were just talking about vinyl and just classic vinyl sounds, and I just think of breakdancing and DJing.
The vanility of it all.
Yes, yes, the vanility of it all. And this one, The Poets of Rhythm. This track is called Augusta, GA, and it's just one of those seminal B-boy breaker tracks. Got a great drum break in it, and look, you know, sound cool at your next party by saying like, oh, is this The Poets of Rhythm? Augusta, Georgia? Yeah, it is. So check it out.
Yeah, bitch, it is. Duh. Anyways, you can find that song in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.